Welcome and thanks for tuning in to the Midday Money Show, your regular shot of uncommon financial good sense. I'm Tony Husbands, a financial coach with the Debt-Free Divas, and today we're learning about how to tame your grocery bill. Why? Because we love to talk about all things as they relate to your money. Steve and Annette Economides may just run the most efficient household ever because they are America's cheapest family. This Money Smart family has been very busy. You may have seen them on the Today Show, the Talk, or even Dr. Phil, to name a few. They've taken their message of living an abundant life with no strings attached all over the world, and today they're spending time with us. While we may focus today on saving money on your groceries, trust me, that's just the start. You'll want to take notes. There's a lot of great info and tips packed into this episode, so let's get started. So thank you, Steve and Annette, for joining me today on the Midday Money Show.
Great to be here,
yeah, Tony. It's great talking with you.
So I'm totally excited about this so far because you are America's cheapest family, but cheap in a good way, right? So
absolutely.
So why don't you tell us a little bit for the uninitiated? Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to earn that title.
Well, we started out being married and living on almost nothing, and rather than go into debt to get what we thought we wanted or needed, we decided we were going to live in by cash. Right. And so we decided to make it a game. And it became actually a very fun game to play because, I tell people that I learned to stretch our money until it begged for mercy. And Steve just went out there and earned it, and I wanted to figure out how to keep a home. So it took me 3 months to exchange all of our wedding presents. We had so many of them.
Basically, Tony, I was earning $6.50 an hour. Now, that was back in 1982. That's when a college graduate, and I graduated with a buddy of mine who got a computer degree, and I was a graphic designer in advertising and everything. I was earning $6.50 an hour. He was earning $30,000 a year. I was $838 a month, take home $13,000 a year. We didn't know that after our baby was born 11 months later that we qualified for welfare.
Yep,
wow.
We had no idea.
But we were able to live on that $838 a month without borrowing any money, and we started saving. And within 3 years, we had enough money saved to buy a house.
Okay.
We had a lot of wedding money.
We bought a repo, four-bedroom repo, back then. And
we put 15% down.
Put 15% down, and then we turned around and fixed that house up and sold it, we paid it off 9 years later.
Wow.
On an average income of about $35,000.
Now, what area of the country are we talking? Where were you living at this time?
We were living in Northeast Phoenix. Now we're in Scottsdale.
But it's Arizona.
Yeah, Arizona.
Compared to Chicago and other places, it's a little less expensive to live. Taxes are way less.
Okay.
But things still cost money. And wages are less out here, too.
So let's fast forward and just say that, we were in a young married Sunday school class at church, and people were watching what was happening in our life, and we had everything that everybody else had. We just got it in a different way. And so before long, people started coming to us and saying, "Can you help me?" And so we started helping other people with their finances, and finally Steve was saying, "I really want to try to make this as a go, and I want to try to live on this."
Well, what we did, we had a secret. We had a secret, and the secret was that we used a system to manage our money that we still use today, and it's the tool that helped us pay off our first home in 9 years, pay cash for all of our cars, take vacations without borrowing money, spend $350 a month on groceries to feed a family of seven, and put our kids through college without any loans.
Okay.
So it's a crazy tool, and I'm kind of being mysterious about it, but it's because it's got a word that it brings up these feelings in people that just are terrible. And if I say the word, you're going to feel bad.
But really, it's the America's cheapest family budget system.
Exactly.
It is the single most important tool that helped us. But really, we started our newsletter back in 2003, and Steve just started pitching media, and he has a course that he's going to be putting up next week on our website at moneysmartfamily.com to start selling that course on how to get free publicity. But he just started pounding the pavement, and we got on Good Morning America.
Okay.
One year after we started our
business. And it was really Charlie Gibson. He was the host back then, and he was the one that dubbed us America's Cheapest Family. And at first I was like, ugh, I don't know if I like that name. But the media loved it.
Okay.
And so it gave us a platform to speak not only to the nation, but to the world. We've got a presence in Australia and
New Zealand, Portugal,
England. Oh, my gosh.
Japan.
We've been in the Middle Eastern countries. We've been all over.
All because you've learned to budget and budget well.
Well, that and what we're sharing is hopeful.
Right.
And it's something that people around the world are looking for, and that is, how can I live on what I have and make it go further and still be fun?
Okay.
Right.
I want to have fun. I don't want to sit here and have a budget feel like it's a noose around my neck. I want it to be like I'm playing Raiders of the Lost Ark and I'm taking territory. You know, that's what our budget's like.
Really, and you know, most people, when they look at finances, it's scary or it's stressful, and there's just been no training out there to teach people how to do this. And Steve and I come in, and we're like, this is short-term goal setting, and it is so much fun. Once you start, you will never want to turn back.
That's what people say when we've coached them.
So, Steve and Annette, you are my kind of people because you talked about budgeting, you talked about living life, you talked about having fun, you talked about, you know, goal setting. I have one quick question for you before we get move any further.
Sure.
Your last name, Economides. Is that your real last name? Okay, before you say something, okay,
yes,
so my husband says no, and I say yes, so tell me who's right.
You're always right, Tony. Don't you know that? You're the wife.
Do you think we would pick that name that almost nobody can pronounce correctly? I don't think so.
But don't you think, how interesting is that was your last name? So let me ask you this then, because you were named Economides from the get-go. Have you all always been frugal by nature?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Well, I want to say from day one of our marriage, we have... But I grew up in a middle-class home. Steve grew up in a middle-class home. Our parents were sort of thrifty. They took us to the JCPenney's bargain basement or catalog outlet or whatever it was. But, you know, our parents didn't teach us about garage selling and rummage sales. And back when we were first married in the 80s, thrift stores were horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're like awesome.
And Craigslist and eBay didn't exist. So
yeah.
Right.
There's so many tools out there now that we didn't have when we first started out.
Yeah, nobody taught us how to negotiate.
Right.
Oh, negotiation is like the biggest money-saving tool out there, and we negotiate everything.
And I'm telling you, it is now a very, very fun game, and I would say we're black belts, but you don't start out that way.
Okay.
You start out with simple goals, and then you have success, and you're like, oh, I did that. Okay, I can do more.
And one of the simplest places to start saving money and being successful and generating excess in your budget is at the grocery store.
So, yeah, we're talking today about taming our grocery bill. So let's start there because you say you're feeding a family of seven on an average salary of $35,000. I just want to make sure people get that. And you have been quoted as saying your grocery bill is 60 to 70% lower than the average family in this country. So how are you guys doing this?
A second. I got to give you one caveat here. If you're looking for extreme couponing, that's a different show. We turned them down three times because they did approach us.
Okay.
We don't do extreme couponing.
Right.
Okay, okay.
And we fed our family of seven. Now, our kids are grown now.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So we fed our family of seven for $350 a month. And that was not eating ramen noodles.
Tony, you have to remember that each person you add on doesn't cost as much as the first couple of ones.
Okay.
Because you're multiplying what you're doing. So it isn't double or triple or quadruple the cost as you add more.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
As a benchmark, the average family of four is spending $200 per person per month. Now, that's an average, okay? I mean, some people are spending more. We were at a baseball game our son was playing in, and I was sitting talking to a guy that had five kids, and his wife was spending $1,200 a month
on
groceries. Now, that's a little bit higher than the 200, but I mean, so but if you use 200 as a benchmark, we were doing it for $50 per person per month.
Okay. And that was not living on ramen noodle soup. That was cooking good stuff. I mean, we had lasagna, we had lamb chops, we had barbecue chicken, we had pineapple ham. I have a delicious pineapple ham recipe. It was, yeah, I mean, we had some vegetarian meals, but we are definitely meat eaters at our house.
So how are you doing this? That's what I mean.
There are so many strategies.
Now, what we're going to do is we're going to start, the savings starts before you ever leave home. Remember the old American Express commercials, don't leave home without it?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There are certain things you should never leave home and go to the grocery store before you've taken these things with you.
Correct. And the first one is to, you may think, oh, this is epic, but really once you get in the rhythm, it's not epic. You need to inventory your freezer, your pantry, and your refrigerator.
Gotcha. You don't have to do this, okay, I have 3 ounces of
turmeric. No.
That's
basically
it, yeah.
Saying, do I have mustard in the house? Yes, check. Okay, do I have jelly in the house? Yes, check. Oh, gosh, I ran out of peanut butter. I need peanut butter. Peanut butter's on the do list. We have a free grocery shopping list that is modifiable on our website, moneysmartfamily.com.
Okay.
And it's an 8x11 sheet of paper. You know, we have found so many envelopes and pieces of scratch paper in carts that people have written on.
Use napkins.
And our grocery list, you basically check off or write the quantity that you need.
But
so
let's go back to the inventory.
Right.
So once a month, we would go grocery shopping once a month. Now, that I know that's overwhelming.
Once a month?
Right.
But we've got a survey on our website that people can go take. If they go to our grocery page, down at the bottom, there's a poll. And we've determined that the average family is going 1.9 times per week. That's 2 times a week.
Right.
And that's 8 times a month. Now, we were doing it once a month with one stop in the middle of the month for fruits and veggies.
Okay, okay.
You know, but you talk about the savings of time.
Right.
If every time you go to the store, you're spending at least 2 hours between going there, picking up the food, and coming back. You're spending 4 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
That's 16 hours a month.
Right.
We did it for about 7 hours in a month. We cut the time in half, and we cut the food price in half.
Right.
So, but it starts at home. Take an inventory of what you have. So go through your freezer, and we bag the stuff in our freezer. We have a chest freezer, so we have all the meats, different kinds of meats, like chicken in one bag, beef in another bag, pork in another bag, frozen veggies in another bag.
But you know what? There's a chapter in our grocery book, Cut Your Grocery Bill in Half, that talks about how to organize your freezer. I don't know that we have time to go into all that today. But
inventory the freezer, inventory your pantry, have your list. The reason you do it.
Right, is because how many times have you gone to the grocery store and said, oh, I can't remember if I need that or not. You pick it up, then you get home, you find out you have two more. We had
you paid full price for it.
Yeah, we had a website member write in and say, oh my gosh, I cannot believe what I found when I organized my pantry. She said, I had so much pasta that I was not aware of. I actually got a basket or a box, I can't remember which one she said, or a plastic bin, put it all in one place so I knew what I had, and now I don't have to buy pasta for months.
Okay.
So inventory is good, and one of the challenges there might be, okay, inventory and see how many meals you can make out of what you have.
Okay.
Okay, that's just a challenge, you know, rather than going to the store. Okay, the second thing is
to plan a menu. And you're going to use the food ads, so it's even if you don't normally get the newspaper, it's worth it to buy the newspaper on the day that the food ads come out in your area, if they don't already get put in your mailbox. Look at your food ads for all your grocery stores, figure out what are the best deals, and try to plan your meals around the deals.
Okay.
So you find the deals, then you plan the meals. Now, that's opposite of what most people do. Most people sit there and say, oh, well, I want to cook,
steak.
We'll have steak tonight. So I've planned my meal. Now I've got to go out and see if I can find a deal. Oh, can't find a deal, but I'm going to pay full price this week anyway.
Gotcha.
So, you know, do it backwards. And if you do that, remember that what we're looking at is we're looking at the ads and we're looking at the loss leaders. And the loss leaders are usually discounted between 30 and 70%. So
okay, what is a loss leader?
A loss leader is like Thanksgiving turkeys.
Okay.
Loss leaders.
Meaning? The grocer pays about 80 to 90 cents a pound for the turkey, and they turn around and sell it for 50 to 75 cents a pound.
So they take a loss on it.
Gotcha.
Hoping that if they do that, it's going to pull you into the store and you're going to buy other stuff.
Gotcha.
So every week the grocer runs an ad and they've got some items, several items, discounted on the front page of the ad. If you can plan your meal around those, you're going to pay significantly less than you would if you bought regularly priced items.
Gotcha.
So right there, you can save 30 to 70% on your meals.
Well, the other thing I want to say you're used to just going to the store and paying full price for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you can start, take baby steps. If you can start seeing that there's some things on sale and you're stocking up on those things, and say you only have to now, out of a 5-ingredient meal, instead of paying full price for all 5 ingredients, now you're only paying full price for 2 of them instead of 5 of them. Are you saving money?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Saving time.
Gotcha.
So that's step 2, is plan a menu. And a menu doesn't have to be gourmet meals. It
doesn't
have to be a meal that takes 5 hours to prepare.
No.
You know, we're not into that. We're into raising our family. We're into working. We're into having fun, too. So Annette developed a list. She made a list of more than 100 different recipes she could cook. Now, when we first got married, she cooked do 2 things.
Boil water and scramble eggs. And I'll tell you, we don't do exotic, but we do delicious at this house.
Okay.
There isn't anybody that's ever sat down at my table and not been happy with what they've been eating. So, you know, we tell people start out with something simple like spaghetti and meatballs.
Mm-hmm.
And buy your sauce. I mean, I make my sauce from scratch, but I've been doing this for over 30 years.
Gotcha.
So,
okay. You
know, keep it simple when you're first starting out. So go buy a jar of spaghetti sauce, buy the spaghetti, buy a bag of meatballs, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to cook from scratch the whole enchilada the first time you're doing. Do barbecue chicken. Put a whole chicken in your crock pot and dump a jar of barbecue sauce over it.
Okay.
You know, have tacos one night.
So keep it simple.
Yes.
And in our grocery book, the book called Cut Your Grocery Bill in Half, we list several ways that we assemble meals, and that is picking a main dish, picking a starch, and picking a vegetable.
Right.
And if you have a list of those options, then it's just plug and play, mix and match, and it makes planning a menu much easier. The first time Annette planned a menu, it took her all day.
Oh, my gosh,
day. But now she's so expert at it, she can kick out a month's worth of menus in about 30 minutes.
Okay.
So it's just practicing. So that's the second step, is first inventory, then plan a menu, and the last thing you do before you leave home is you write your shopping list. And we already alluded to the fact that we use a check-off shopping list. It makes it a lot easier. You could even put it on an iPad. You know, just have something where you don't have to write out everything you want. You just go and punch a button or click check a list or whatever, but you're trying to make it simple so you can remember what you need and get it written down.
Okay.
And then you're ready to go to the store.
Right. And are you okay, Tony?
I'm okay. Yep.
Saving?
Yep. This is great because we're in the store now and you have some strategies for saving money while in the store. So why don't you talk about those?
Okay, the first one is don't go hungry, which you've heard all the time.
Yes.
And don't bring your preschoolers. It is too hard to stand there at the aisle and try to do quick calculations in your brain when you have your preschoolers in your cart and running around your cart.
Okay.
Remember, food shopping needs to be an event. It's worth it to actually get a babysitter to go food shopping.
I'm going
to
tell my husband that now. Annette says, I cannot go to the store anymore with children. You got them.
Let's put it in perspective. If you're a family of four and you're spending $400 a month, that's $4,800 a year. In 2 years' time, you will spend almost $10,000 on groceries.
On groceries.
That is a significant purchase.
Yes.
Would you go buy a $5,000 item without doing your research and without being prepared and with distractions all around you?
Very good perspective. I like that.
You know?
Yeah. And,
and it's not fair to the kids either.
Right. If you don't have family nearby, obviously grandparents are great for babysitters. But if you don't, maybe you could trade with another mom. Say, I'll watch your kids when you go grocery shopping or you watch mine when I go grocery shopping, or maybe your husband watches them. Maybe you put them to bed and then go.
Right.
I guarantee you, if you don't take your kids and you even had to pay for a babysitter, you would save more than the price of a babysitter
easily
by having your mind focused on your grocery shopping, going with a list and having an inventory. You make that money back easily.
Right. We already talked about stocking up on sale items. We talked about sticking to your shopping list. You want to do the impulse study?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. In our book, Cut Your Grocery Bill in Half, we quoted a study called When the Rubber Meets the Road. It's one of the largest studies of consumer shopping habits in grocery stores ever made.
Mm-hmm.
150,000 purchases were tracked. And one of the things that they determined was that 60% of the items that grocers put in, the shoppers put in their carts, are put there on impulse.
60%?
60%. Yes. So if you go to the store for 10 items, you're going to come home with 16.
That's
and
if you, it's just, so just know that.
Right,
so,
and if you want to test it, the next time you go to the store, use a basket, one of those hand baskets.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously if you have kids in the cart, you can't put it there, but people have recommended putting the hand basket up in the little section of the cart.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you walk the aisles and pick up stuff, anything that was not on your list, you put in that hand basket. When
okay.
you get to the checkout, you will be amazingly surprised.
That's a good little challenge. I like that, doing that.
Okay.
But you short-circuit the impulse buys if you go with a plan.
Right.
Because if you don't have a plan, the grocer already has a plan. They've spent millions of dollars studying how consumers go through stores, and they're going to put shelf interrupters on the shelves. They're going to put more expensive items at eye level. They're going to put things on the end caps at the end of the aisles to entice you to buy. They're going to have bread cooking. They're going to have kinds of things to make you want to buy what they want to sell.
Right.
If you have your plan will trump their plan, and you'll save money.
Okay, a couple of other quick things before we move to the next topic. But buy fruit that's in season. Try to incorporate more of that into your recipe. So right now we're kind of in transition. We're finishing up the summer fruits, although we just found a great deal on peaches for 49 cents a pound. So my daughter made peach ice cream. We're making peach cobbler.
Mm-hmm.
We're heading into apple season, and baked apples, I'll tell you, Cracker Barrel has nothing on me with those baked apples. So, it's a great time to do the apple cobbler, apple crisp, apple pie. We're not saying exclusively eat that, but it's the time to use more of it in your menu plan.
Okay.
Apple pancakes.
So, yeah.
Okay. Now, when you're in the produce section, there are different ways you can buy produce. And some of those ways will cost you about 40 or 50% more than other ways. If you buy loose apples, we have this in our book, but we
mm-hmm.
researched 200 pounds, we weighed 200 pounds of produce.
Loose
for this,
versus bagged.
Okay.
For this chapter. And loose apples this particular week were about 30% more expensive than bagged apples.
Hmm.
So there's five things you should check.
Five
different food items you should check in the produce section. Oftentimes bagged is cheaper than loose.
And I always buy loose apples. I'm going to be looking at that now.
Okay, let me rattle them off for you. It would be apples. It would be onions.
Mm-hmm.
It would be tangerines. It would be potatoes and carrots.
Okay.
Just check
Never
it out.
Even thought it. See, there's so much to this, and you just these things you probably don't even think about because I know I haven't, and I grocery
right.
shop all the time. But they can make a significant dent in your grocery bill.
Right.
That's awesome.
Lunch meat is the last thing I want to touch on for savings in the store.
Now, this is going to blow your mind. There are three ways you can buy lunch meat.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to the deli, and you can pay between $7 and $9 a pound, and they'll slice it for you real nice and wrap it up in that paper and put it in a little plastic bag, and they'll charge you $9 a pound. Or you can go to the Wall Deli, and you can pay between $5 and $7 a pound for Hillshire Farms or deli cuts or all those different things in the plastic bins. And
Oscar
stuff like that.
Mayer.
Yeah, all that stuff. Or you can do what America's Cheapest Family does,
mm-hmm.
and we buy what are called chubs of meat. Now, chub is not a very attractive word. It makes you sound like you're chubby or whatever. And to me, it's smart. And what we do is we go to the meat section, and we'll look for turkey ham, turkey, or chicken in 3 to 5 pound chunks of meat,
mm-hmm.
vacuum sealed. Now, oftentimes, you can either take those to the butcher and have him slice them, or you can take it over to the deli counter and have them slice them. I did this one day, and standing next to me was this older couple. They were retired, and the woman looked at me and said, "What are you doing with that meat?" I said, "Well, I'm bringing it over here. It's only, at the time, it was really cheap. It was like $1.29 a pound for lean turkey ham,
mm-hmm.
and I was going to have it sliced at the deli counter." And she looks at her husband, and she slaps him on the shoulder and says, "Why didn't you think of that? We're on a fixed income." But it's a great way to save.
Okay.
Just be sure if you have it sliced at the deli or the butcher that you ask them to put the ends in,
mm-hmm.
because oftentimes they throw those away because they don't look pretty, but you can easily dice them up into little bitty cubes and throw them in scrambled eggs.
I got you. Okay. This is good stuff.
All right.
This is really good stuff. Okay, well, with all this talk about preparing food and meal planning and ways to save at the grocery store, let me ask the economy these this. Do you all ever eat out?
We do for date nights once or twice a month, and then certainly on vacation when we're on vacation.
It was
but
a rarity when the kids were all home.
Right.
All of us go out to dinner. It's just too expensive, and you know what? It takes a lot of time.
It does take a lot of time because sometimes you have to wait to be seated.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to wait to have your order taken. Then you have to
wait to have the stuff picked up that the kids spilled.
I find that eating at home allows more privacy, better food, and just a better family time, better conversation.
Okay.
Now, if you want, let's say mom is stressed, it's been a hard day, and you just don't, you didn't pull dinner out of the freezer
right.
or whatever, you didn't plan something. What are you going to do? I mean, you've got options.
Yeah, you do.
But most people will say, forget this.
We're either going to go pick up fast food or we're going to go to the restaurant.
And you're going to spend $30 or $40.
Right. Let me give you some quick options, okay, when you just can't pull dinner together, okay?
Okay.
Go to the grocery store, pick up a rotisserie chicken, a loaf of French bread, and a bag of salad.
That'll cost you less than $15.
And you've got dinner.
There you go. Okay.
And it's like you went out, but you didn't really go out.
Right.
And you'll have stuff left over for the next day.
Right.
Too.
Another option is to go pick up a $5 pizza at Little Caesars, one of our favorites.
Pizza,
uh-huh.
pizza.
And go pick up a bag of salad.
Okay.
Well, voila. Once again, you've got dinner for your family for $10 to $15, and you didn't have to cook that night.
Right.
So
okay.
Occasionally, we'd take our kids to McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a rule in our family, and that was...
And you will not be surprised, Miss Tony.
You're ordering off the dollar menu.
Right.
And because we taught our kids to be financially responsible, and they had their own money that they'd earned, we said, if you want any drinks, you buy them yourself.
What we would say is, okay, you can order $3 off the dollar menu, three items off the dollar menu. If you want a shake, you pay for that.
Okay.
Now, of course, we're not doing that when they're 3 years old or five
right.
years old. This
right.
is when they're really on our Money Smart Kids system and they're earning, doing chores and earning money. So around eight, I think, is when
mm-hmm.
they really started doing that. And they had the funds for it. They would be like, you know what? I really want that Jamocha shake, so I'm going to get it. I'm like, go for it.
That was at Arby's.
And it's a shame because I knew it was at Arby's, too. That's what I would get.
There's no
okay.
shame in that. Those are delicious.
So, you know, our kids, our friends that take our kids out are always amazed because if they're out with our friends and they go to a restaurant, the kids will say, well, what's my budget?
Oh, really?
And the friends will be like, what? I've never heard a kid talk like this. And so they'll say, so Abby comes home one time and she's like, yeah, I asked her, what's the budget for the restaurant? And she's like, order anything you want. I didn't know what to do, Mom, she said. I'm just so used to having a budget and have to work with a budget at a restaurant.
So let me ask you a quick question. Since you're talking about the kids and getting them on your Money Smart system, what ages do you really start working with your children in terms of finances and kind of understanding money and understanding the value of money? What age would you say
good
you...
Good question.
We could do a whole show just on that, but we'll answer real quick
okay.
and succinctly for right now. But you can really start a kid at 3 years old learning to pick up their toys and drag the laundry basket to the washer and
right.
set the table with unbreakable plates. And
our idea was that we didn't want to give our kids an allowance, an entitlement, a gift for just being part of the family.
Okay.
We wanted them to correlate hard work or just work and attitude with earning.
Okay.
And so we set up an economy in our house where they could earn points every day, and on Sunday, those points translated into money.
Okay.
And then they had responsibilities with that money. They had to put 10% into give away for charitable giving,
uh-huh.
20% into save for the future, and the rest of it they could spend until they were 11 years old, and then they had to start buying their own clothes.
Okay.
But, Tony, can I hit on one more grocery thing? Because I know our time is coming to a close.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. Cooking, you know, you said, do we ever go out to eat? And
mm-hmm.
cooking can be a real struggle for women that are working outside their home
yes.
and trying to raise their family. And
mm-hmm.
I've got three simple, well, not the last one isn't so simple, but the first two are pretty simple ideas for cooking and how to make it easy. One is to use your slow cooker. There's
okay.
tons of slow cooker recipes on Pinterest.
Right.
And, you know, you put stuff in the slow cooker in the morning, even if it's just the meat with some sauce. Like I've got a killer beef brisket with a mustard and onion sauce. Then when you get home, you basically need to pull out a bag of frozen vegetables and put some baked potatoes in the microwave, and you've got dinner ready.
Okay.
The other option is to cook double and to freeze for 2 weeks later. So whenever you're making a meal, always think double. So say you've got Sloppy Joe's going. Well, make double, put it in the freezer, and then have it 2 weeks later, the other one.
Okay.
And the third one is, this is absolutely crazy, but when the kids were all here and they were younger, I did something called once-a-month cooking.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about it in our grocery book. There's a whole chapter on saving time and money with cooking. And basically, the premise is you spend all day and you cook up like 15 dinners in one day, and then you load them into your freezer.
Okay.
Throughout the rest of the month. And all the kids would end up working with me in the kitchen, chopping and peeling and oh, gosh, I had them all. It was like a machine going
Once a month cooking is an exercise in efficiency. So if you're planning several meals and each meal uses onions or each meal uses chicken, you know, you're using that time to cut up all of those things to go into four or five different meals.
Okay.
And the nice thing is that it doesn't have to be done just once a month. We tell people, don't start trying to do it that way. Start with once a week. And we had a couple write in to our website, and they said, you know, we tried this once-a-week cooking thing on the weekend, and our kitchen was really small, so my husband went outside, and he was cooking bratwurst and chicken breasts and steak on the grill, and I was inside making casseroles and different other meals. And between the two of us, we made the whole week's worth of meals in one day, and we put them in the freezer, and we even had enough for lunch. And doing that simple thing, working together and planning our meals and cooking together, cut our grocery bill in half, and we save $300 a month.
That's nice. Now I suspect all of this and more, all of these strategies that you talked about today and more are available in your book, Cut Your Grocery Bill in Half.
Well, we have three books. The first one is America's Cheapest Family Gets You Right on the Money,
mm-hmm.
and that's all about household finances, just about every chapter in there, from utilities and cars and vacation, you name it. And then the second book that we've written is Cut Your Grocery Bill in Half, and then the third book.
And in the grocery book, there's everything. We even talk about how to buy used appliances without getting burned, and we have a lot of our recipes, but not all of them.
Right.
And we're coming out with a cookbook hopefully this year. So we're going to have all those recipes. But anyway, that's the second book.
Okay, and then the third book is The Money Smart Family System, Teaching Financial Independence to Children of Every Age. Because 60% of parents right now are financially supporting their adult children.
I don't think this has ever happened before in 5 years of podcast history that I have. I was so engrossed in the topic that we totally went over time, and so you don't get to hear the end of our time together, but I promise Steve and Annette said that they would love to come back and talk more about raising money smart kids. That's going to be another information-packed conversation, I'm sure. So I've said this many times before, I'm no master chef, but Annette's meal descriptions have me wanting to turn up, as the kids say, in the kitchen while keeping my costs under control. Personally, we spend about $200 a week on groceries for a family of, like I say, three and a possible. The 2% milk habit for my 20-month-old is still kind of manageable, and I thought we were doing good. So it looks like we have some room to save, especially before my little ones become big-time eaters. Links to all the resources mentioned in today's episode, including their website, moneysmartfamily.com, and the Cut Your Grocery Bill in Half book, because that one definitely looks like something we need to dig into, will be available in the show notes for this episode, Taming Your Grocery Bill, at my website, debtfreedivas.org. While you're there, make sure to download our free book, Give Yourself a Raise in 21 Days. You'll receive even more helpful tips to save money and be notified with a follow-up email when round two with America's Cheapest Family is ready to go. I would also say they just might be America's nicest family, too. I enjoyed that interview. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Until next time, you guys have a great money week.